T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Hate the most. Probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell.
Phony Michelle.
Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Well, you said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
Now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hour number two on Mark Inhart. We'll be here with you, abbreviated edition, till 11:30 as we take you up to Boston College pregame as they face the NC State Wolfpack here today, which will be at BC at Chestnut Hill Alumni Stadium. You can hear the game coming up at noon with John Mina Perel have the call on that one. BC has already lost 3 games on the season. They need it's getting nice outside, though. It's getting a typical New England fall weather. You know, in the morning, man, it's getting a little colder here, I got to tell you, than I thought it would.
I had to scrape my windshield
when
I came in.
Like, in October, I thought we were going to wait till November for this stuff, man.
It happens.
You know? I mean,
New England weather. And you're getting soft because you're spending too much
time
in down
Florida.
South.
Yes, I know. The birds fly south, Sunshine State. you know, they always say about Florida, it's a sunny place for shady people. And another thing I heard.
Probably accurate. You know, maybe you should go back.
No, another thing I heard, though, about Florida, which is their motto for spring breakers, come on vacation, leave on probation.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another one that
there's a reason that anytime there's one of those weird news stories, everybody assumes it's Florida.
It's always Florida.
It's a different kind of place. I don't like Florida.
You don't?
I think it smells. I think it's, like, moist. There's this weird moisture in the air and on everything, and I always feel like that moisture causes just stinkiness.
Well,
you get off the plane and you're like, what is
well,
that?
It's hot. Yeah. It is hot, yeah. No matter what. And I will tell you this, man. You get about 4.5 to 5 months of heaven, but then you get about, I would say, 7.5 to 8 months of hell, because that weather is just, you don't want to be down there in May, June, July,
nope.
August. I mean, it is.
Made that mistake with the family a couple years ago. I thought May might be a good month.
Oh.
And we went and did Disney and SeaWorld and all those things. And there were days it was like 100 and whatever. It was hot. It was humid. It was the rental car, you were like sticking to the seats.
Oh,
it was just
yeah, that's not good. 617-779-7937. We're talking about the Patriots schedule Monday night. Beware of the Jets. This is going to be a tough game, folks. It's going to be a really tough game on Monday night.
So make a pick.
I mean, the Patriots will win the game.
No. I said a pick. The pick involves the nine. Is it 9.5?
9.5. I'll tell you what, I don't like the game, but if I had to pick, I'll take the Jets plus the points.
I think I would too.
I mean, really, we are now,
yeah. Since the Jets game the first time, the Patriots games have all bogged down. Like, it was 12-7 in Washington. Final was 16-10 Buffalo. Last week, even with the Giants. Like, you're in dogfights.
Yep. And if it wasn't for the block punt for a touchdown,
right,
and the fumble recovery for a touchdown.
And what does Bill call those? Bonus points.
Yeah.
He says you can't count on those. Those are bonus points. At some point, you're going to not get those. Not because you're not good on special teams or because you're not good on defense. They just don't happen with regularity. They're special points. You watch that. Do you watch Red Zone, I assume?
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, they show you all the touchdowns and they give you the breakdown. Offense, you know, 62 touchdowns. Defense, 6 touchdowns. Special teams, 1. They're rare. They don't happen that often. You're supposed to score on offense, not in the other two phases. Patriots have scored enough in the other two phases. You can't count on that. At some point, you won't do that. Sam Darnold, Monday Night Football. Jets have a pretty good defense. They can make some. They are banged up as hell, by the way. I don't know if you did. You put that in your trending? You should put that in your trending. Do you know they have 10 guys that aren't practicing? Another 5 that are limited. That's 15 guys. That's
a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's more than Belichick ever puts on his injury report.
Well, it does depend, you know, how truthful you're being with your injury report, whether you're Adam Gase or Bill. Adam Gase could be fluffing it up.
Of course.
Bill Belichick could be minimizing it, and the truth is somewhere in the middle for both teams.
617-779-7937. Mark's on the Cape, who's up next. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Just Mark with a K?
I got,
Yeah, with a K.
The right way.
No.
They're both right ways. It's just how whatever you decided, whatever spelling you like, but they're all good. Mark's
liberal?
A great name.
Liberal, okay, cool. Everything's right?
No.
No, I have 2 points. One is about, you know, how you say the fact that the Patriots haven't played anybody yet. How many times in the past have we, like, walked into a trap game? Somebody calls it a trap game with a team they're supposed to steamroll over.
Well, Buffalo.
And the team.
Buffalo was sort of that trap game.
Well, I know, and the consistency of the defense, you know, sometimes they're supposed to roll over a team and the other team ends up putting points up on them for some reason. But this year they're just shutting teams down.
You know, I wonder, Mark, if Josh Allen doesn't go out of that game, if the Patriots can, I mean, because he would, even though he couldn't, like, he started to run the ball, and the Patriots have trouble with athletic quarterbacks. The one thing about Josh Allen you can say is that in addition to his consistent inaccuracy, he's very athletic, and if
he's a running back, so he should be.
That's what I mean. If he doesn't go out of that game, I don't know if they win that game.
Or he throws you the pick and you cruise away because he throws a pick six. That's the Josh Allen experiment. To me, the most interesting thing, Mark, about this defense, Mark with a K, the good Mark, is they're not even allowing third down conversions. Did you know their last five opponents, the most third down conversions they've allowed is two? It's hard to drive the ball down the field if you can't convert on third down. They've had a zero in there, a one in there. So it's not even that they're not allowing points. They're not allowing people to even advance the ball by converting on third down. And it's hard to imagine that suddenly Sam Darnold is back, but Sam Darnold is going to be the guy that just moves the ball down the field with ease. Come on now. Come on.
Right. So the other point I wanted to make is with the mess that the Patriots offense is in, shouldn't it be said of other teams' defenses, hey, they haven't really played a good team, but yet the Patriots still seem to put up some points and win by at least two touchdowns offensively.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. Against the Bills and the Giants, they didn't put up that offensively. They weren't that great. Don't forget, they got two, as Belichick calls them, two bonus touchdowns with a fumble recovery and the block punt for a touchdown. Both of those, that's 14 points right there. You take those 14 points away, that's a
21-14 win.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, if somebody wants to make the argument that the Patriots haven't played a good offense yet, then you could also make the same argument for the other team's defenses that the Patriots stink right now. So how are they going to win? You know, it kind of balances itself out. So
you agree that the Patriots offense isn't very good right now? Because I get a lot of fans with a lot of pushback on that the Patriots offense is better than we're giving them credit for. You agree, Mark, it's not very good.
I think with Brady's experience, Josh McDaniels, you know, planning, I think they have a leg up on any other team. But I think as far as the skill position, you know, Edelman's hurt. Josh Gordon, who knows when he's going to be back. Everybody seems banged up this early in the year. So it's tough to count on them. Kind of like, you know, you can't count on Mahomes making trick plays every game because that's just not part of the gameplay.
Well, you saw when he went up against a team that in the Colts and then last weekend against the Texans that I'll tell you what, that was utterly impressive by Houston. That might be the best win of the Bill O'Brien era. When they were down early in that game, and they came back on the road in Arrowhead to beat the Chiefs going away. That was utterly impressive the way they did it. With no O-line, they got a good defense, though. They got a pretty good and then Carlos Hyde, they got a pretty good running game as well. With Duke Johnson, they're not bad. And they were able to come back and win that game. I thought that, to me, was, you know, you started to see the coming of age that we saw 2 years ago in his rookie year in the first month of the season when they came in to play the Patriots. Was it the first or second game of the year back? That was like the second game of the year in 2017, right?
I'd have to check.
But like, remember they came in here and how good they were, and it wasn't for Amendola making a huge catch in that game that the Patriots. So, you know, you look around the rest of the league, and the one thing, though, that for the Chiefs, which is going to be huge, huge worry, is that they don't have a Teddy Bridgewater to Mahomes, Drew Brady.
Do you believe in Matt Moore?
No, not yet. when he has a 24-point lead on the road against a team like Denver who's almost quit, sure.
Week 3, 2017, right. Patriots 36, Texans 33.
That was a great game. It was an unbelievable game.
Billy O'Brien screwed that up.
He did.
Field goal or something. He made a bad decision. Yep. He actually admitted that to me at the combine. I said something to him because I get along pretty well with him. I saw him in passing, and I said something about good game and blah, blah, and he goes, yeah, till I blew it, whatever, like a little passing comment. About
well, he wasn't as accepting in the post-game press conference, though.
No, no, and you're never going to be. None of them are.
No.
Unless you're Belichick and just every time you lose, just say, we got to coach it better, I got to be better, blah, blah, blah. If you throw a cliche cut and paste out there every time, most coaches aren't going to just go out there and say, I screwed up, drop the ball. That's not how they're wired.
So
I probably wouldn't either.
So we sit here, and because we're in a place that, you know, we have all these titles since 2001 with it when it comes to the Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, and Bruins, even though it's been a while for the Celtics and Bruins have won a title, we're going to nitpick the 6-0. We're going to look at it, and we're going to say, right, here's what can get better. Like running-wise, here's the one thing that I disagree with what Teddy Bruschi said. They don't have a good running game right now.
No.
They don't.
Nope.
So you're like, oh, we're going to rely on the running game. Like, who are you bringing back LeGarrette Blount?
But I'm not sure we were sold on the running game until down the stretch a year ago. Now, Sony was better. Don't get me wrong. The flashes of Sony were better a year ago than they have been so far this year. But until they turned into a flat-out running team, and there was some circumstantial nature to that. If you remember, the Chargers were they were banged up defensively, and they were playing with regularity, like 6, 7, 8 defensive backs, because that's really all they had on defense. So probably no surprise that Bill Belichick looks at that and goes, wait, the other team's going to play 8 defensive backs? I think I'm going to run the ball at them. I think we're going to play big football, big boy football. And that offensive line was better. Like,
much
they
better.
Proved
Trent
they were
Brown.
Better. Trent Brown was a mammoth human being out
David
there.
David Andrews. They now, didn't, I mean, come on, man.
Maybe they will get there. Maybe Isaiah Wynn, we talked about it earlier. Maybe Isaiah Wynn is good enough, right? Because if he's supposed to be a guard, right? The whole thing coming out of Georgia was, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? He's short. Right. He's big.
He had short arms.
Right. So if he's more of a guard, he should be able to run block. I don't know if he can pass protect against, right, you know, Bosa or any of these guys off the edge.
But run block.
But he should be
sure.
able to run block. So they should get better because Marshall Newhouse is duct tape. You put duct tape at left tackle, and you're waiting for Isaiah Wynn to get back. That's just the reality of the situation. But I also, there's a guy I want to see, and I don't know why I haven't seen. I mean, I sort of know why I haven't. I'd like to see Damian Harris get a chance. I mean, he's a 2-time 1,000-yard rusher at Alabama. Like, Damian, you want to run the ball? You're not in love with how Sony's running the ball?
Well, and what is it with this redshirting?
Well, I think it's like, a simple numbers game right now. I really do. I think we try to make more of it, even me. I think something is weird that he's not playing at all. But then when you look at it, Sony Michel's your lead back, and Brandon Bolden is always going to be active because he's one of your core special teamers. So Brandon Bolden takes up a roster spot, and he's your backup running back. That kind of makes Damian Harris the odd man out because you also have your James White's going to be active. You're going to have Rex Burkhead active when he plays. So Damian Harris is just the odd man out. I'd like to see him get a chance to run. I thought the little bit we saw of him in the preseason, he looked like a guy that might be able to run. He's stockier. He's more powerfully built. So maybe if there's no hole there, he can blow through the hole for 4 yards and maximize it. I'd like to see Damian Harris.
Well, you look at last year's draft. I'm talking about 2018. And Isaiah Wynn has played a game and a quarter.
Yep.
In his entire Patriots career, he's played a game and a quarter. Sony Michel, great rookie year, sophomore slump. Saw that coming.
A good rookie year. Great finish to his rookie. I wouldn't say great.
Okay,
good rookie year.
All right. Yeah, I actually
you're being overly positive.
I know. Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You ill?
Like everybody uses the word great. No. Definitely not great. Duke Dawson never played it down. Duke Dawson gone. Second round pick waste. Juwan Bentley could be a stud. Could be a stud.
Has really done very little this year. Now I know there's good linebackers in front of him. It's hard to crack into the Collins, Hightower, Vannoy boogeyman circle. But I thought there was going to be more from Bentley, and he's done nothing so far.
So that's basically when you're talking about the first, you know, 5 rounds of the draft. Go back the year before that. Derek Rivers?
Nothing.
Nothing. Antonio Garcia?
Gone.
Dietrich Wise?
Okay. Solid player.
Yeah, solid player.
Solid depth player.
Know, and I don't want to criticize. And then this year, N'Keal Harry, he's not on the field. Like, he's on IR.
He's practicing. He's going to be back, baby. He's the answer at wide receiver.
Now,
is he the answer?
Now, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think he is. Personally, from what I've seen, I don't think he's the answer. I find it hard to believe that he is going to be an impact, big part of the rotation. And I include in that Tom Brady always saying, well, you know, we shouldn't put so much pressure on the young guys. We can't throw to the young guys. The veterans have to step up. The veterans have to make plays. I don't know that he wants to count on N'Keal Harry to be the guy he needs to lean on in big games and big spots.
And then you go to the reason why Belichick, he hasn't drafted a wide receiver in the first round going way back to, was it Deion Branch?
This is the first first-round wide receiver
he's ever had.
Yeah.
He's ever had.
20 years in New England, this is the first time he's took that swing.
But there's been a lot of bad receivers that have been high draft picks, Chad Jackson.
And he admitted at the time he thought of taking Chad Jackson with the Lawrence Maroney first-round pick. So it was at least on the table that Chad Jackson could have been a first-round pick.
Oh, he definitely could have been a first. It was great at Florida, but then he didn't worry. So here's my thing, that when you're looking at this team right now, and if we're going to nitpick, and you don't have a left tackle, you don't have a center as of right now, with all due respect to Ted Karras, you don't have a tight end. And moreover, even though Gronk wasn't the quintessential Gronk that we saw, you know, that was a Hall of Famer that had 70-something touchdowns, his blocking, at least the last year, just the threat of him being out there as a decoy when you weren't just throwing it to him, you don't have that. Dude, if you want to look at one play to me where Ryan Izzo just showed why he's a seventh-round pick, was the play against Lorenzo Carter and the Giants on that Thursday night game where he got completely it was just like he wasn't even there.
Yeah, he has. And I thought he was going to be one of those guys that was a little more of a blocker than a pass catcher, and his blocking. But tight end in general, the blocking on the end of the line has been a part of the problem. And that's where I think we may be guilty of being a little overly harsh on Sony Michel. Bill has been very critical of the blocking. Anytime he's been asked about Sony Michel, the offensive line, he has said, well, maybe if we gave him a little room to work or if we blocked it a little better. I would say, yes, that's true. You haven't blocked it well. But Sony Michel's a first-round running back. At some point, make a guy miss, right? Show some burst. Burst through a hole that's not really there. Find some positive.
Well, that's what
and
that's
I
what
don't. I think he minimizes plays. I don't think he maximizes them personally.
Well, I don't
see any burst. And I know you like to do the comp. I mean, Chubb, his college teammate in Cleveland. Every time I look up last year and this year, he's going like 40 yards here, 50 yards here, 90 yards here. He's been a big play guy, and Sony Michel just hasn't been. He's had that one run last week against the Giants late in the game was like 20-whatever yards. Kind of actually swayed the stats to make it look like he had a better day than he had.
Yeah, I mean, this year he's averaging one less yard per carry, 3.5 yards per game. It's per carry. It's just not been a good year for him. And I saw the sophomore slump coming. This is one of the major reasons why you don't take a first round pick on a running back unless that running back is going to be someone like a Todd Gurley before he was hurt, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon, Wiggy likes to call him Shaquan Barkley, someone like that. But you don't, and you took the wrong Georgia back. You should have taken Chubb. Chubb was the better player.
And we don't know about the other first round pick. Jury's still out on Isaiah Wynn.
Like, you can't see
those two first round picks could look, because if Sony Michel, we've talked about this a lot on the, I'm going to plug here, Off Day Podcast with Ryan Hannibal and myself, available WEI.com or also available on iTunes, Off Day Podcast. We talk a lot about if Sony Michel had been a third round pick, you'd be fine with him. He'd be fine. He'd be a good third-round pick.
Exactly.
Had a great postseason.
Damian Harris.
Had a great postseason as a third-round pick. Helped you win a Super Bowl. But he's not. He's a first-round pick. And with that comes increased expectations. Your role should be bigger. Your production should be bigger. And he plays more like a mid-round pick.
I think Tom Brady also will get to this. People are chatting about this online and social media about him being in this new Netflix series. This is not him trolling the owner. This at all.
No.
At all.
But it's a bad look. It looks bad, right? Can we agree on that?
It's a bad look.
If you look at just the clip, because I think, I don't know anybody who's, it's Netflix, so I'm assuming you can watch the whole series. I'm sure it's all out there.
Right, you can probably binge it.
All anybody's watching is this little clip that includes Tom Brady of Paul Rudd at what clearly is made via an aerial to look like a strip mall massage parlor, and I think it's maybe a little bit misrepresented. From what I've heard, that people that have seen extended scenes, that right after it, Paul Rudd gets in and goes into this place, and it's like a medical center, an anti-aging center, not like a seedy, shady massage parlor. So I think it was packaged in a way that my guess is Tom Brady's not all that happy with.
Well, I think it was post-edited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think we know how these work. Tom Brady may have not been, I'm guessing he wasn't at the strip mall. He walks out a door that might be on a set in Hollywood.
Yeah, it could be a green screen.
Gets in an SUV.
Right.
And then he goes back later and sees the finished product. And for all I know, he saw the finished product last night. Now, maybe he saw it before that, but maybe he didn't see it.
He's not. It's not him.
I don't think he signed off on trolling Robert Kraft.
No.
I don't believe
that.
No,
I don't think so
either. It's a bad look, and now he needs to clean up the mess to some degree.
He'll be talking today at 145.
140, baby.
Yeah.
Read it here on WEEI.com.
Yeah, you can't trust those Hollywood types. All right, we'll come back with more of your phone calls. Now it's time for trending.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right. Hey, if you're looking for Mustard and Johnson, you can hear them right now every Saturday morning from 9 to noon on WEEI AM 850.
Larry, wake up over there.
Our sister station.
I can see him. He's falling asleep. Larry, wake up.
Yep. Hopefully he's not hiccuping. And on the radio.com app, Patriots were back at practice yesterday. No sign of Josh Gordon. What's up with that? Still dealing with an ankle and knee injury. He'll be ready Monday night?
No, I do not think he'll be ready. I don't think he's going to be ready. I don't think there's much of a shot that he plays. So I think he still has a limp.
So you're throwing to an injured Edelman.
Jacoby Myers. You threw to him four times for 54 yards.
He looked good.
This week, throw to him eight times for 108 yards. Woo!
No Ryan Izzo. Jim McBride says Izzo's been diagnosed with a concussion. Only two tight ends at practice, Ben Watson and Eric Tomlinson.
You want to finish out the hour by reading the Jets injury report? Because it's massive.
10 players did not practice for the Jets. More than that, another six or seven were limited. Among the 10 players that didn't practice, Henry Anderson, Chris Herndon, their tight end. Not a lot of big names, but their injury report is massive.
So you wonder if it's a lot of it's a little smokescreen.
I think these coaches play games. And I think some coaches against Belichick intentionally put a lot of guys on to balance out the fact they know Bill rarely puts a lot of guys on. They all play games. They all hate the injury report. But the injury report's all for people like you.
Well, it's for gambling.
Gamblers.
That's right. Bruins on the road tonight in Toronto. The first of two games against the Leafs this week. Joakim Nordstrom, upper body, and David Krejci also have been ruled out for tonight's game. Red Sox have released pitcher Steven Wright, the knuckleballer, then revealed to WEEI.com's Rob Bradford. He will be undergoing Tommy John surgery on Tuesday. Yankees staved off elimination last night going up against Justin Verlander. So game six, you can hear it tonight right here on WEEI at 7 o'clock. Houston leads the series 3-2. They better close it out. You don't want that thing going to seven. But if they do, they got Gerrit Cole, so it's all good. That's what's trending now. We'll get back to more of your phone calls on Mark and Hart at 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I think everybody's always concerned about how their boss is going to, you know, take into consideration if something happens back home. But when you have a boss who respects you as a man, it's easy to go out and play for him like that. And I think for me, that's easy to look him in the eye, and whatever he asks me to do, I'll do it simply because I know that he respects me as a human being, and I respect that. I was lucky, Coach Belichick. It's nice when you have a coach that has a human, sees you as a human being, not just a number, and you have an issue and you're able to go talk to him and tell him about what's going on, and you're able to go take care of it. That just makes you want to play harder for a coach when he believes in you and let you, you know, take care of your family first.
Well, that was Michael Bennett during training camp.
Yes, he arrived late. I believe that was day three of camp, July 27th or 8th, somewhere in there. And he had flown in from Hawaii and was right on the practice field and was just gushing about Bill Belichick treating him as a man and how that was great and he would do anything he asked him to do. And now What are we, 2 months later?
Yeah.
2.5 months later?
So how bad is it, like, you've been around there for a long time, that when a guy gets suspended for a game like he is and docked a week's pay, like Michael Bennett, this wasn't just him probably telling Brett Bielema to go F off.
No. There have been a number of guys over the years that we've known about that have been unhappy with their roles. There's been other guys that we clearly probably didn't know about. Usually, you end up being inactive for a week or a couple weeks, and sort of the dust settles, and then maybe you work your way, earn your way back onto the active roster, game day playing, whatever. Suspensions have been few and far between. Alan Branch had one a couple years ago. Terry Glenn was the poster child for just craziness way back in 01, but that's a different sort of whole beast back then. There haven't been many. I mean, Ted Johnson walked out back in the day. Oh, I don't know, 02 era, 03 era. Saw the game plan on a Wednesday, realized, where's 52? I don't see 52 on here anywhere, and walked out. He wasn't suspended. He came back. He spoke with the media, admitted he made a mistake, wasn't happy about it, moved forward, stayed here for a few more years, and had a nice career. So, Teddy Bruschi talked about it with OMF. He assumed it was physical. You know, but even the physical, the famous story that Teddy Bruschi reiterated that we've heard for years is Junior Seau and Pepper Johnson went chest to chest with each other, with both wanting to go to the parking lot and basically solve it like, you know, men in the 50s, fight it out in the parking lot. Junior Seau wasn't suspended.
So how bad is this, you think?
It's bad. But is it relevant to the Patriots in a bad way? I don't know. He's not really playing. I think they have a ton of veteran leadership. Well, I think Michael Bennett's going to upset Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, Lawrence Guy, any of those? No. I think the only way there's a lasting effect is if he's traded or cut. Like, you lose Michael Bennett in those whatever minor snaps a game.
He's played 36% of the snaps so yep. far this year, and then he's
on average, like, it's been right. going down.
So I got to tell you, I don't even see him used in a lot of the sub rush packages. Nope. He's
a bit player.
He looks disinterested.
Yep.
Lifeless.
Yep.
And just sort of going through the motions, and he looks kind of out of shape.
I rarely agree with you, but I got to agree with you on this. Like, on the sideline, there's times where he definitely seems disinterested and distant from the team, the role, the being engaged. And, Bill comes over or Mayo comes over and they got the whiteboard. He's sort of on the periphery, if at all. I just think it didn't work out. I think it's circumstantial. But I also think this is what you get when you get in bed with the Bennett brothers. I mean, they have a long history of burning bridges.
But
Martellus
was fine when he was here.
He was fine when he was here. He was not fine anywhere else other than here. And maybe Bill thought that. Maybe that was part of why Bill loved Bennett as a player. If you remember back to the Super Bowl 49 against the Seahawks, all the mic'd up and the documentaries that came out after that, Brady, Belichick, they were all just gushing at how good Michael Bennett is, how important he was to deal with him. And I think Bill saw that, married it up with Martellus, I heard stories about, and I got Martellus here, and it worked out fine. In fact, Martellus went to Green Bay, shot his way out of Green Bay, came back here, and played a second time. It didn't last long, got hurt. But I think he probably thought, I'll deal with this too. But I also think the role changed. They not only traded for Michael Bennett, it was a minor trade, a swappage of picks. They gave him a new contract. They tore up his contract, gave him more money, gave him a 2-year deal. So they clearly thought, this is a guy that's going to have a significant role on defense.
He had the second most, I believe, hits against quarterbacks last year.
Yes.
So he's a guy that can get pressure. Is it just that, here's the thing too, which is weird. You're on a team that is undefeated 6-0, and there's an issue, and you got a guy getting suspended for an internal thing, some sort of disagreement, which obviously went way beyond what is tolerated. So,
we only know the internal disagreement because of Michael Bennett went to the media, basically issued a statement through a guy at ESPN saying, I had a philosophical disagreement with my position coach. I apologized to my teammates. Didn't apologize to the position coach in this statement to the media. But the only reason we know any of that is because he sort of broke the first rule of Fight Club and talked about what happened in Fight Club, right? He went to the media. So, okay, sorry, proceed.
No. But what I'm saying is that, do you think this is a thing that I don't see him being here by the end of the year? I think there's a if this bleep continues, I could see Bill wanting to move on and
yes.
get, you know what I mean? This is just I just don't see something like this being because you're just not going to tolerate it. But then again, I think that Michael Bennett's a little bit enough of a veteran where he'll just smarten up and not do this.
Could be a wake up call. And I still think, given his limited role, I still think he's an NFL player. Is he a starting every down defensive end anymore? Maybe not. But is he a guy that you could have make plays? I mean, Chris Long was a shell of himself when he was here, and he made plays, right? He was out there with some regularity in certain situations. And circumstantially, yeah, you got guys that you didn't expect. I think Danny Shelton has been a guy that they signed after Michael Bennett's trade, who has filled a role and has been better than they expected. Jamie Collins arrived after Michael Bennett and has been obviously light years beyond what anybody could have expected. So that sort of changed the scheme. Adam Butler is a third-year player who's taken a jump, who's an ascending player instead of a descending player, Michael Bennett, who's playing more and had a significant role. So I do think some of it's circumstantial, and maybe Bennett can sit back for a week and say, you know what, I screwed up, but I still want to win a Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you want it?
Like, right. You want to add another one.
I'll be a bit player on a Super Bowl-winning team. Yeah. I'm still getting paid, you know, a little AB-like. I'm still getting paid either way, and maybe he'll sort of reevaluate how he fits with this Patriots defense. I do think if you wanted to trade him, the suspension was a bad idea because I think it hurts his
value. Definitely.
Right? You're better off just having, if you suspended him last Friday, just all of a sudden Sunday morning, Adam Schefter, out of nowhere, Patriots have traded Michael, you know, one of those. Just ship him out of town. Don't do the suspension, because now if you're these other teams,
you're like, what's
why
going
do
on?
I want to deal with that? If Bill can't deal with it,
Someone say this week on a different show, they were like, hey, let's trade Michael Bennett, the sports talk radio caller. Let's trade Michael Bennett to Cincinnati for A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert. They're going to sign up for that.
That's
one.
A good deal.
The Bengals will love that one.
Call Mike Brown. Call Zach Taylor or whatever his name is.
Zach Taylor, yeah.
Boy, do we have a deal for you. Let me take A.J. Green off your hands, those damaged goods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Michael Bennett being suspended and what that means for this team. Jim and Weymouth up next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I don't know why anyone thinks this is a surprise. There's a reason this guy's been on multiple teams throughout his career. He's been nothing but a jerk the whole time he's been in the league. Yeah, he's a good player, but, I mean, they don't need him. They got depth on the defensive line. I don't know why anybody's surprised that this guy started chirping away. He's been a jerk his whole career. I mean, why would it be any different anywhere else?
Right, and, you know, there's an authority issue. I mean, we saw the incident in Vegas with the cops.
Yes. Yep.
We've seen the title to his book, Things That Make White People Uncomfortable. Like, he likes to poke and sort of test his bound, like a teenager.
Sure.
Sort of see how much I can get away with and see who I can make uncomfortable. And I think he's gotten away with that. And, you know, Wiggy defended him all week.
Shocker!
Wiggy defended him.
Shocker.
Bielema should have been suspended, too.
Right.
Wiggy thinks they both should have been suspended.
Wiggy's such a moron. He was defending Kyrie Irving up until, like, even after Kyrie Irving went to Brooklyn, he was defending him.
Why are you going to call him names?
Well, I mean, because he's always going to defend the player. He's always going to defend the player. That's the way he is. Oh, you're going to defend him. Of course you're going to defend him. He defended Kyrie Irving when everybody's come out. Even the great Doris Burke, who's one of the best, she's even come out and said, yeah, the reason why the Celtics, there was an issue last year with the Celtics because Kyrie Irving's lack of leadership. Right. It's odd, like that was the reason why the Celtics regressed last year from the year before to getting to the fourth quarter of Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron and the Cavs.
I even heard right before we came on, Rodney Harrison with the safety blitz.
Right.
Somebody asked him about the Celtics, and he thinks they're better off because Kemba Walker's better.
They are. They are. Kyrie was a cancer.
Oh, well, Rodney Harrison, Kyrie would be the exact opposite type of player he would want to play with, play for, root for.
So
that's anti-Rodney Harrison.
Okay, so let's just say Kyrie Irving, hypothetical scenario here. Let's say Kyrie Irving was a receiver or a quarterback, and he played with Rodney Harrison. What would Rodney Harrison?
There would be a locker room divide between the defense led by Rodney Harrison. Rodney Harrison would take his head off. I would love to go to those training camp practices because Kyrie, the receiver, head on a swivel because Rodney's coming for you. He don't like your type.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Michael Bennett, what could this perhaps mean in terms of upsetting the apple cart of a team who's undefeated 6-0 going into Monday night? Now all of a sudden you have a disgruntled. Obviously he's disgruntled about something. So we'll get to that. Take your phone call, 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I don't like Michael Bennett. I just want to be clear. I think he's an idiot. I think he's a poser.
Putting that on the table?
I think he's a poser. I've seen this a million times. I don't want to put words in anybody else's mouth, but there's always the athlete in the locker room from two-parent family, never missed a meal, but wants to be a thug in the worst way. It was, one of my best friends at Ball State was that guy, and I loved him. He's one of my best friends, but always wanted to be a guy that was in a drive-by shooting and had a teardrop so he could tell everybody he was a thug. That's who Michael Bennett is. Great family, but he's a poser.
Wow. And that wasn't from the last few days. That was from about 6 months ago. That was Jason Whitlock, who basically called out Michael. Now, I will say this. Martellus Bennett came out with a book, and when I was at my former employer, Nesson, he came in to speak to everybody. And he brought up how he grew up in this really tough area. And it was like really, you know, like, you know, just sort of projects, you know, really tough. And I'm like, and I didn't want to raise the hand and call because he was promoting his book. I'm like, did you really?
Right.
Did you really grow up in, like, because I could tell you, I know for a fact that Edgerrin James grew up in the hood of Immokalee, Florida. I know that for a fact. I know that Antonio Brown grew up in Liberty City, which is, I mean, let me, like, it, like that, those guys, they don't need, like, you know, and so you just have to understand the whole thing. Michael Bennett, and you mentioned too, there's also the sound of him ducking, running during an active shooting in a Vegas casino when all the police told people to get down. And then Michael Bennett came back afterwards. They Googled him. They didn't even get his ID. They let him go. Right. And then he claimed police brutality.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, dude, they let you go because of what you do for a living and who you are. So,
which you would have thought he would have been grateful for, right? And maybe sort of.
There's some shady things about Michael Bennett.
Yes.
Let's just be honest. Listen, there's some.
He rubs people the wrong way. Like, even if you don't want to take it all the way to shady, he rubs people the wrong way. He does things that I think, as I said earlier, I think both the Bennett brothers sort of push their boundaries. Test, see what they can get away with, whether it's with coaches or teams or fans or making people uncomfortable with how they treat race and some of the issues in that area. I think that's what they're all about, pushing the boundaries.
And
I don't think the Patriots, by the way, internally, are about people who push the boundaries.
No.
Just do your job.
No.
Just show
that's
up
it.
And do your job.
That's it.
And I mean, they literally have made it their slogan, so they're not looking for anybody to test their boundaries. And certainly, like, I think Brett Bielema, I know he's a first-year position coach with the New England Patriots, but he's been here for a couple years as a, I don't even know what his official title was, but he's been around the team. From what I've seen, he gets along with everyone. He's always fist-bumping players. They're putting an arm around him.
The one thing about Brett Bielema, that it, going back to his days at Wisconsin, he is the ultimate player's coach. Like, there's not a player. Melvin Gordon, Russell Wilson.
So who am I going to side with? Michael Bennett, who's been nothing but problems in a lot of places and butted heads with a lot of people in a lot of different ways, or Brett Bielema, who seems to get along with everyone. And by the way, again, was the head coach at Arkansas, an SEC powerhouse-type team. Didn't go well. There's a reason he's in New England and not making $4.1 million a year.
There's all a couple of reasons. Call Alabama, LSU, and Auburn.
Right. But he was a head coach of that program. He was a head coach at Wisconsin, where it did go well. That's how he got to Arkansas. He was like a top 25 program every year he was there, I think.
Well, two guys Trey Flowers played for Brett Bielema.
Right. So let's not pretend Brett Bielema is some low-level, nobody position coach that you're going to bully. And Bill Belichick is going to support his position coach, right?
Yeah.
He should. Otherwise, you lose all credibility for your position coach.
One of the things we've got to get to at the top of next hour is we're here until 11:30. We take it up to the BC pregame. Trey Flowers, how bad?
Illegal hands to the chest.
He got screwed, and the Lions got screwed on Monday night.
Officiating is one of the big stories that is taking off.
Yeah, we got to get
to it. And not in a good way.
Not in a good way
for the league. You're losing star players, what we talked about earlier, guys like Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees, and you're adding the biggest story of the season is officiating. That's not good. That's not what you want.
No.
617-779-7937. What's up? Mark is in the great state of New Hampshire. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you. I think Marcus Bennett is a key for the Patriots, and not only does he have a good contract, but he's a possibility to win a ring. What do you think? Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I don't think they need him to win another ring, but...
Do you think he meant to call us? It seemed like he was more of a Mustard and Johnson caller, but I do not think they... You're big on who they need to win. We got into a
They don't need Michael Bennett.
They do not need Michael Bennett. Could they use him? Is there a chance that Dietrich Wise, you know, gets hurt or Adam Butler gets hurt?
Here's the thing in terms of need. You looked at the short-term picture about needing Antonio Brown. I was talking big picture. The whole season, they don't need him. The six-game gauntlet.
They need to be better offensively. They don't need Antonio Brown.
They will need
him. Emmanuel Sanders could make them better.
Okay.
Well, O.J. Howard could make them better.
They're not better than Antonio Brown, though.
No, but you're saying they cannot win the Super Bowl without Antonio Brown.
Of course.
That's what need means.
Okay. Well,
I think you need to look up need. Get your little Google machine going over there. You like to Google.
No.
We're going down this road again.
When they get to the playoffs and they face a stingy defense, they're going to need they don't have a one receiver.
I don't know. A lot of people think it's disrespectful to diminish the accomplishments of one J.E. 11, the squirrel.
He's not
getting his nut, baby.
He's not number one. He's not a one receiver.
Cool. I don't know. What did he win last February? I believe it was called Most Valuable Player. Not even Most Valuable Receiver, Most Valuable Player. He was the most valuable player in the biggest game ever played.
So, listen, do you want to go down?
No, don't play that game.
Larry Brown?
Go to Ralph and Cranston.
Larry Brown. Okay, you want to go to Dexter Jackson? Ralph and Cranston. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, guys. When they signed Michael Bennett, I think all of us said, well, wait a minute, you know, he's a little surly. He's opinionated. I hope he gets along with the media here. But we were all for it. I mean, it was 1 year that they were trying to replace Flowers. But they knew what they were getting in this guy. And, you know, I laugh at the argument of who's more important, Brady or Belichick. I think Belichick's the most important figure in the history of this team. I mean, who's putting the defense together? Him, not Brady. I mean, but he knew, too, you know, this guy's a veteran. He's a little surly. What I don't think his strong point is, he didn't do it with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. He doesn't seem to take these guys aside and say, you know what? All right, it's a different scheme. He doesn't give it enough effort to me. I mean, it's his style. I don't knock anything. I think we're lucky to have this guy. But Red Auerbach years ago, you know, these are two of the greatest executives in the history of any sport. But he was a little different. See, he would take his guys aside if there was something. He would explain it. He would be a little, you know, conscious of things. And that's what Belichick doesn't do. And to me, he could have handled this a little bit better, too, and said, look, I want you. You're valuable to this team. Let's try it different ways. Because what we're hearing is he just, you know, stopped playing the guy. Now his fans, they're seeing him play 11 plays a game. I think I'm not going to blame Belichick for this, but I'm going to say he could have handled it better. He's done it so often in the past. He did it with Jamie Collins. All of a sudden, he trades him. And Collins seems to look and say, why did he trade me? You know, I don't think he communicates, especially when you have a difficult player like Bennett. He knew what he was getting in Bennett.
Whether or not that they decide to cut him, then they're on the hook for the signing bonus, that's a whole nother story. But
unless you take a problem off someone.
Right.
Unless somebody's a problem for 1 year, let's say another 8-9 games, that's the way he's tradable to me.
Here's the thing, too, about Michael Bennett. He's been in places like Seattle and Philly where he's played for mostly players' coaches. Pete Carroll's a rah-rah guy. He's going to let guys get away with stuff like Percy Harvin, more Doug Peterson, same way in Philly. In New England, it's a different way. It's a different world up here. And a lot of these guys who are used to having their way with, quote, players' coaches, they come here and it's a dictatorship. And you have to, listen, you know why you have to follow suit? Because the greatest player in the history of the game is leading the team and saying, I'm doing it, so you should be doing it too.
And I will agree with the caller to wonder, Belichick does not communicate.
No.
That's not what he does. He's not into telling everybody everything. Do your job. I'll let you know when you need to play.
Can you imagine a Belichick session with a psychiatrist?
Oh, yeah. there's a lot of his everything he does that would not be deemed okay in that world. But it's not that world. It's his world, right?
And it's deemed okay for a single reason.
Yeah.
Because in 20 years, he's been to 9 Super Bowls. He's won 6 of them. He wins more than anyone. It works. And you're right. He gets his top lieutenant to fall in line, I have always thought was a key factor in this. But he doesn't communicate. He's not going to over-communicate. And it's like when Christian got into it with him. Not got into it, but asked him, you know, or Lou. One of them asked Bill about, you know, do you tell Stidham that you might play today? And Bill's like, well, what are you talking about? Like I'm going to tell a guy, if we're blowing somebody out by 30 points, I'm putting you in. He doesn't over-communicate like that. He expects you to know, be ready.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way he plays.
Yep.
And I do think there's a transition period for guys coming in. And I always thought this team's defense was at its best a long time ago with Romeo Crennel because he was the communicator. Bill was sort of the big boss overhead, but Romeo connected.
But I think Matt Patricia connected with the guys right now. And you know this as well as I do. Who's the D coordinator right now? Is it Gerard Mayo? Is it Steve Belichick?
Well,
that's the whole thing.
As much as it's always been Bill, it is Bill.
It is Bill.
Now, those guys have to call plays on game day, and they have to enact the game plan because Bill can't do it all. They are the guys calling plays. And I actually was watching the Giants game.
But Brian,
I think they switched in the first and second quarter. I think Mayo called the first and Steve called the second.
But Brian Flores, to me, seemed, even though he didn't have the official title of D coordinator, seemed to have more of a, I don't know if you will, stronghold on that position of calling.
Right.
Where now it's sort of like a collaboration. You got Steve Belichick, you have Gerard Mayo.
But it's always Bill.
It's all, okay, fair enough.
Better or worse. So when they suck, say Bill sucked on defense. He didn't put together a good defense. And when they're good, say Bill did a nice job. I've always sort of bristled at the idea that, oh, we give Patricia credit for this or blame Patricia for this. Then we give Flores credit for this or blame Flores. No, Bill oversees it all in that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday phase. On game day, they have to use the play sheet and call a play. But even that, they're getting advice. They're getting, you know, Bill saying, why don't we pressure it a little bit this series?
Yeah.
You know, if they get in long yard, let's pressure it a little bit.
Right.
So it's Bill. Yeah. Bill oversees it all.
Yeah. All right, your thoughts on Michael Bennett, and why does the officiating in the NFL suck so bad? And if you need just a microcosm of anything, it was the Monday night game at Lambeau Field between the Lions and Packers where the NFL basically gifted a game, early Christmas and Hanukkah present for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and completely screwed Matt Patricia and the Lions, who were having a pretty good year.
Yep.
And then a 13-0 lead, and all of a sudden, and my biggest question on this, and I'd like the callers to answer this, how come with the advancements of modern technology and the 8,000-plus cameras we have all over the field, including pylon cams, why does the officiating suck worse than it did 20, 30 years ago? 617-779-7937, Mark and Hart.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mark in Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Hate the most. Probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell. Tony Michelle.
Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark and Hart.
Mark in Hart.
Mark and Hart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
And now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark
and Hart.
Mark and Hart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Today, I'm in agreement with America, with the coaches, with the players. Change needs to happen. The game is never going to be perfect. They're human beings. We have 7 officials on the field working 22 players. The numbers just aren't there. America wants perfection. I get it. Let's embrace technology. I was not for a sky judge weeks ago. At this point, I think we have to embrace technology, and we have to find a way to fix the egregious error. I understand what Commissioner Goodell said, but weren't we saying that same thing last January?
Former official and current ESPN official analyst is John Perry, and if you
sounds
thought,
like a politician, I'm with America, and we need to embrace change. I'm for change in 2020.
He is for change, and I think he was for change in 2019 or 2018, sounds like he was. Well, that was just the very diplomatic version. Booker McFarland, who you could say what you want and say what you will, but all I know is this,
He sucks.
You don't like him?
I think he absolutely is terrible.
He's not worse than Jason Witten.
He's bad in a different way. He just skated because everybody fixated on criticizing Witten last year. Now they realize how bad he is because he talks incessantly and says nothing.
Well, he did say something after Trey Flowers got called for an egregiously horrible hands-to-the-face penalty for the second time in a quarter on Monday night. And here it is.
I know a lot of people talk about the officiating and where we are in 2019, John Perry. But when blown calls, when blatant calls cost teams football games, that's where we as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled about how the game is being officiated and some of the plays are costing teams games with the wrong calls.
Yeah, I mean, 5-6 weeks into this season, we're seeing officiating.
And this is it with Trey Flowers.
It's a headline story, week in and week out. Boog, I get it. Mistakes are going to be made, but you know what? We're inside shoulder pads. We're on shoulders here.
So that was Booger McFarland. I actually don't think Booger's that bad, and I think actually what he did calling that out, and he said thereafter, he's like, they basically, before Mason Crosby kicked the game-winning field goal, which is a chip shot, he said, he goes, they've given the game.
Yep.
They've given the game to Detroit.
And
Trey
Flowers to the Rams.
Had never, ever been called that in his career in New England or Detroit prior to the fourth quarter of Monday Night Football against Green Bay, at Green Bay. That was an embarrassing look for the league.
A season-altering game for both teams.
Both definitely.
Teams.
No certainly doubt.
Two division rivals in what might be the toughest division in football right now, the way those teams are all battling. This is going to continue to roll because every time the NFL tries to fix it, they make it worse. That's been the reality of recent years.
But why? How can this happen? Like, even John Perry's like, yeah, you need to have a booth official, which is fine, but like I said,
Because it's never going to be perfect. That's the first thing we need to. There's a difference between, and this is where the NFL has always battled with its coaches, and, you know, you have the ability to challenge anything. You can challenge a spot. Why are you challenging the spot in the first quarter? You know what I mean? And the pass interference call. We have review of pass interference. Why? Because at the end of an NFC title game, a team that should have gone to a Super Bowl didn't go to a Super Bowl. And yet now we have ticky-tacky calls that are reviewed in the first quarter in the third week of the season. And that's the problem, is replay is designed, and their whole point is to fix the egregious error, right? Don't change the outcomes.
The
of
Nickell
seasons.
Roby Coleman call, yes, which cost the Saints and cost the world of a Brady Breeze Patriots Saints.
But when you open up the door to fix that one, all the other stuff flows through the door, right? And you get these ticky tack calls. Is it pass interference? There was a blatant one a couple weeks ago on Jonathan Jones, I think, that might have been the Giants. Maybe Shermer reviewed it. And they've clearly told the officials, don't change anything. Unless it's the worst possible call you've ever seen in your entire life, don't change it. Because that's pass interference. But they, 24 of the last 25, they just stay with the call on the field.
Yep.
And we know those all weren't correct. But that's the problem. You opened up a judgment call to replay. Just like the holding thing that was an issue early in the year. Remember all the complaints that holding was up like 170%? Well, that's because if you really look closely and want them to call holding, they can call holding on every play. Every offensive line coach has said that forever, every defensive line coach. But you want the game to flow, and that's the problem. You're ruining the game. You're ruining the entertainment factor of the game, and that's your biggest problem. If you do that, everybody thinks that. Now, there was a ridiculous comment. Was that last week we listened to Pat? Was it Pat McAfee? Who made the claim that, you know, everybody thinks the NFL is going to fade someday because of CTE and injuries and lack of players. It's officiating that's going to ruin the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've gone that far yet. It's a little extreme.
But I do like him being somewhat hyperbolic, though.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
He's not wrong. I mean, John Perry, this is a situation where the league now, and kudos to the league that when things are bad like that egregiously, like if you were explained to someone who had never watched American football before, what is pass interference? You would show them Mikel Roby Coleman against the kid Lewis from the Saints and say, that's pass interference,
right,
and it wasn't called.
So and the a team lost and still advanced to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
essentially. That's what replay is designed to fix. The problem is the slippery slope, and it's the same. I hate replay. One of the things I've been an advocate for, and people call me a moron, I think all replay should be full speed. You get full speed, 30 seconds of replay. If you can't tell immediately at full speed that it was a horrific call, then it wasn't a horrific call.
By the way, interesting theory, but we slow everything down to
exactly
to and like the high def cameras.
Right.
And, you know.
And did that blade of fake grass move or did that not move? And it's like, it's so. The MLB has just as big a problem, but no one cares because it's MLB. These calls at first base where it's bang, bang. And was the ball completely in the glove first, or did his foot hit first? And we replay, and the manager's at the top step holding the game up. It's terrible. There's going to be blown calls by real-life umpires, officials, human beings. There's going to be some mistakes.
Wait till something like what happens Monday night happens to the Patriots, and people here will lose their ever-loving minds. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the South Shore. Danny and Quincy. What's up, Daniel?
You know, I tried to get on last week with you guys, and then I got cut off. I think the kid thought I swore, but I don't swear on the radio.
No, you don't swear.
I don't swear in real life either. So, anyways, but Andy, I got to know where you stand because you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth.
He always does that, Danny. Shut up. What do you want, Danny?
Okay, so I mean, you asked me last week, as currently constituted, did the Patriots have enough to get to the Super Bowl? Let's talk about winning it and all that. It's one game, blah blah blah. Right now, I got them at 12-4, and they're one and done.
It's okay.
Currently constituted, because they have no safety net. They have no over. They're underinsured rather than overinsured on offense. And the kid Scott that called earlier, 40 points. He didn't specify where are those 40 points going to come from.
Yeah, it ain't coming from the offense.
So who's knocking them out in the first round of the playoffs? Oh wait, are they even? Is that even the first round? Do you have them winning a bye or no?
I got them in the. I have them. At 12-4, they should get a bye at 12-4.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? They should get a bye. But I just got to – I mean, it's unthinkable to think that the defense can carry this team for right to the Super Bowl. It's just – it's not realistic. Not realistic. They're going to – how many – they're going to block more punts?
Do you think the offense will be better later in the year?
Sorry?
Do you think the offense will be better?
I don't know. As currently constituted right now, no. They have no – last year they had the Patriots version of the Hogs. And on and off, they could. They had safety nets last year.
Okay.
Tom Brady wasn't that great, you know, putting up points, but he was clutch. Then they could rely on the running game. They were beasts on the offensive line. They could win. They could hit you with so many different ways last year.
And the defense is light years better.
Went through. I'm sorry.
The defense is light years better this year. Correct.
Yeah, you got to admit, Jamie Collins and even Jason McCourty has taken a huge step.
So whatever regression you see offensively, which I agree with you, the offense is not very good right now. I'm not one of those people whistling past the graveyard. The offense has issues. Now I've seen enough over the years where Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady somehow figure out a way, but they've also, while they've regressed on offense, they've improved on defense.
Yeah, how many games can you expect? Just like when the offense was carrying the defense for so many years, you know, all I heard was you guys crying on Tom Brady's shoulders, like, how many more games can Tom carry the team?
So you don't think
defense?
This? You don't think this defense?
Wait, this year?
Wait, who are the other playoff teams?
To
no. You listen to me. Who are the other playoff teams that you think this defense couldn't possibly handle in the postseason? They can't handle the Houston Texans and Billy O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. They can't handle the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh. They can't handle the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen.
All it takes is one hiccup, one imperfection.
I know how it works.
One imperfection on the defense, one bad play,
Hey, Danny, can I ask you this? And I think you and I are on the same page on this. How much do you attribute the Patriots' 6-0 start? Do you think it's a product of them being, you know, turning the clock back to 2007, or the fact that their schedule has been absolute total trash?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I don't know about 07, but let me just say one thing. And I called when Tommy Curran was on the other night because I've been ripping Curran, so I faced the music. And he said Antonio Brown ruined three teams. I don't know how he ruined the Raiders. They're 3-2.
Yeah, I know.
Two straight.
Yeah.
I don't know how they ruined Pittsburgh. He's played 8 seasons with them. And the Patriots are 6-0. The biggest mistake that they made this year was getting rid of. And if Belichick didn't make a mistake with Brown. Because if it were up to him and Brady and the rest of his teammates, he'd still be on the team. Kraft blew this season.
Well, no. The mistake, Belichick made, by the way, contract was the mistake.
No. Danny, I'm with you. I'm all on the bring AB back.
I am too. But the mistake Belichick made was giving him, I told you this when we were talking about the idea of AB.
You thought it was a veteran minimum.
You cannot hand him money. You cannot guarantee him a bunch of money.
And they did.
They went and guaranteed him over $10 million.
And to quote him, as like he said, you're paying me anyway. You might as well make me earn it.
I'm all for it. I continue to tell people this. No one cares. I picked up AB on my fantasy team. Manny, I got him sitting on the bench, right, baby. I'm waiting for it.
Manny in Providence. What's up, Manny?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to
I like it, though. So what else you got?
It's going to hold ground. Even if the Patriots offense struggles and they have a hard time, they're not going to be one and done. This guy's crazy. And he's very passionate and animated, you know what I mean? But he needs to calm down because it ain't going to happen.
I agree, Manny.
I don't think
they could be
one
and done, by the way. But I want to know who's going to beat him. Like, so I don't believe they'll be one and done because they fall on their face. And that seemed to be what Danny insinuated, that they're not that good and the defense won't live up to its reputation and fall on its face. I don't see that happening. Now, you could argue
to me that Patrick Mahomes
misses time and suddenly the Chiefs are the team that's coming to town on divisional weekend, but Patrick Mahomes is healthy and Tyreek Hill is healthy. And you could sell me on they just get beat because they get outscored because the Chiefs are back to who they could potentially be.
But if Mahomes comes back 100%, well, by playoff time and they're in it, and even if they come to New England, if Mahomes comes back, either the Chiefs or Texans could beat New England. Yes. Nobody else could.
Both of those guys
are no other teams.
Potentially, unique athletes. Like, I bought into Deshaun Watson. I remember listening to him at the Combine when people said, why should you be a high pick? And he said, I was a winner in high school, I was a winner in college, and I'm going to be a winner in the NFL. And I was like, yep, you sold me. If I had a pick, I would use it on you. He's an impressive player.
Apparently didn't impress the Bears.
Right, there's some teams that didn't buy it.
Right.
But I bought into that, and Billy O'Brien has bought in. He thinks he has his quarterback.
Well,
he has his quarterback.
He does.
Quarterbacks help you overcome mistakes. So maybe Billy O'Brien is sort of glossed over if he makes a mistake because Deshaun Watson's just good and makes plays and has, Nuke and Will Fuller, and they're making plays. They still
Carlos
have pretty
Hyde,
good defense.
They got Duke Johnson. They got some players.
You could
there.
Sell yourself on they're a good, well-rounded team. Maybe they come to Foxborough and beat the Patriots. I don't see the Patriots falling on their face.
Here's my picks of the week.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Colts at home over Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
And the Texans. And here's there's a movement in Vegas. There's a lot of sharp money this week. The Green Bay Packers start off as a 7-point favorite over the Raiders.
Okay.
It's down to 4 now. There's a lot of sharp money coming
out
on
Adams
the Raiders.
Out again, right?
Yes.
So
there's a lot of sharp money coming on Oakland.
So you're taking Oakland?
No. But I will tell you, if you're going to follow the sharp money, you probably would put some money on the Raiders. I'm taking the Colts at home with Jacoby Brissett over the Texans.
Go Deshaun Watson. Let's go, baby. Let's go, Houston.
He's my MVP anyway. I love that guy. All right, thanks to Bridget. And what's his name, the new guy we have? Nate. Nate, great job on a Nate. We'll be back next Saturday at 9. Stay tuned for BC pregame next.
Patriots, they defeat the New York Giants 35-14. Jets.
92 yards!
Don't miss the real post-game show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis. Monday night after the game for instant analysis and reaction. This is the destination for Patriots fans. This is EEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.